Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lecturers to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the December 14th Sunday Mass's first reading. It's the third Sunday of Advent, Year A. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, "Be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you." Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. The word of the Lord. Oh my gosh, this is such a beautiful reading. I should confess that for this one, I'm eating my own cooking. Maybe just like you, I'm assigned to do the first reading this weekend, so we're in this together. So let's get to it. I always start my own lector practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the discernment of the message. What is God saying to us in this reading? What is the message of this reading? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? Isaiah continues his Advent good news with this incredibly beautiful and poetic description of leaving the Babylonian captivity and returning to the promised land. There is one line, though, that captures the absolute essence of this reading. Heck, you could say it captures the essence of the entire Bible. Just five simple, one-syllable words. He comes to save you. That's what this reading is all about. Don't get me wrong. This entire reading is exquisitely picturesque. But if you want your listeners to remember one thing from your proclamation, it's, He comes to save you. What lessons do you get from this reading? If you've listened before, you know that I sometimes prefer a conversational style to reading, to make the scriptures more accessible to the people in the pews, as if you're having a chat with them. This is not one of those readings. This reading is a true proclamation. Imagine an Old Testament prophet standing on a Babylonian street corner, belting out this message to all those hopelessly depressed Israelites. Now let's go through the reading. If you're not familiar with the word steppe, it's a vast, treeless, semi-arid plain. There may be grass, but mostly it's not considered a beautiful place. And of course, steppe is used in parallel with desert, so that gives you an idea what it's like. The reading starts off with these barren wastelands joyously transformed. They literally come to life. Punctuate this good news by smiling. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. Isaiah continues with some sweet parallelism. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. Focus on bloom and rejoice, and then abundant and joyful. Infuse all four words with jubilant energy. Actually, the entire reading overflows with jubilant energy. And the next line. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. Again, nice parallelism with the glory and the splendor, so emphasize them. Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon are regions in the Promised Land. Speak fondly of these places, with yearning, like it's your long-lost homeland. The Israelites are trapped in Babylon and can only dream about freedom. This is a vision of them leaving their Babylonian captivity and returning to the mother country. So lots of joy here. Remember to keep smiling. Next, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Again, some very nice parallelism here. The glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. So focus on that. And then a beautiful piece of parallel construction. The symmetry here is profoundly poetic. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Then this rousing, rallying cry continues. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. So when you say here, make it sound like right here and now, not in the Middle East someplace, not 3,000 years ago, but right here and now, in this church, in this morning, or afternoon, or evening. Continue with the same power in your voice. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. Now here comes the reading's headliner. Create a pause big enough that it draws in your listeners, as if filling a vacuum, because the next five words are the main attraction. Memorize them. So during this pause, you smile and make intimate and tender eye contact with the entire congregation, scanning from one side to the other. Lovingly say, he comes to save you. My lector training included a prohibition of the use of hand gestures, but consider doing this in an understated way, placing your hand over your heart for the brief moment you say the words, he comes to save you. If you do this in a way authentic to you, it will add warmth and meaning for the people in the pews. Continue your eye contact and smile, again scanning the pews, with a pause long enough that your message really sinks in. Return to the reading. More parallel construction here. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. So just like we emphasize the word here in here is your God, emphasize the word then, because you're pointing to a specific time in the future when all these things will happen. It's not if this is going to happen, it's then when these miracles will happen. Because there is such joy with this part of the proclamation, feel free to add a little bit of a chuckle when you say the words, we'll sing. Continue with, those whom the Lord has ransomed? Say that as a question, and then continue. Will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Keep smiling. So much joy here. Then the last line. We're again going to take a sentence and convert it to a question, and then answer your own question. Sorrow and mourning? Pause and look at the congregation with a big smile, and answer, we'll flee. Say that with a little bit of a chuckle in your voice, dismissively, as if mocking the mere mention of sadness. So that's one way to do it, with a deep, mocking, derisive tone of voice. I want to give you another option, and this is more lighthearted. Try saying, sorrow and mourning will flee. You're laughing at this. Your voice has a higher pitch to it, and it's a lighthearted joke. Sorrow and mourning? There's no place here for that. So just another option for you to consider. We're done. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org and we'll see you at the Ambo.